Now, last year, my next guest wrote her first book of fiction, which was inspired by her special needs daughter, Glanmire's Eleanor O'Kelly Lynch, has just published a follow-up book to The Girl with Special Needs. And this book is called The Girl with Stars in Her Eyes. And I'm delighted to say that Eleanor joins me in studio this morning. Good morning, Eleanor.
Morning, Patricia.
And you are very welcome. It is great to see you. Well done, firstly. And I suppose I need to take you back. You always wanted to write a book.
I did. I always wanted to write a book. I think as a child, I was a reader, like we all were. There wasn't an awful lot else to do in my day. I loved Enid Blyton. I loved Grimm's fairy tales. I just loved that world that you sort of stepped into, Mallory Towers, you know, St. Clair's. Those worlds that you stepped into, that you were literally living the experience. And I always thought, I'd love to write something like that. But of course, wanting to write something as a child and actually doing it as an adult, two different things. But yeah, it was always in my head.
And then I know you did some creative writing and all of that. And that kind of was the start of it.
It was. I did a writing weekend down in Shirkin Island with in the North Shore. I think North Shore is called the hostel down there. And it was a fantastic weekend. But on the Saturday, she said, away you go now, because we were, of course, writing little stories and little pieces. And she said, away you go now and write what you want to write, that dream that you have, whether it's a book or a poem or a website page or a story, write the first page. And she sent us off for 2 hours. And I thought, I've no place to hide, I've no place to run. The idea was in my head for a few years. But of course, getting it, I'm a bit of a procrastinator. So ideas swirl in my head all the time, but they don't actually get to paper. So I sat down in that couple of hours and I wrote the first page of what I didn't realise would be a published book. But it's a book I wanted to write.
And was that the actual first page?
Was the actual first page.
And
I really
book.
Didn't change it much at all.
Well,
and when I... Do you know what? It was a very strange experience. When I wrote that first page, when I put my pen down, because I handwrite, I was very excited. I said, I have a character here and her name is Doll. And I felt her voice. I didn't have to force it or how would she speak or what is she thinking. It just came. And I said, I need to find out more about this character. And the first page, when I read it out, she said, oh, that sounds like a real character. And I was off then. After
yeah, that. And that wonderful character of Doll is a child with special needs who has a very difficult life.
Yes.
But in an altered universe, you have her living an incredibly different life.
Yes. It's a dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose it's a dream that you have, that your child who has a hard life and who has a life where there's illness and there's discomfort. Lauren has, you know, lots of different challenges and often is not a happy child, is not an upbeat child. You don't know what's going on in her head. She can't speak. This is my daughter in real life. And yeah, I said I would love to transport her off and give her an alternative, another life in another dimension. And maybe that life would be more, you know, she could really fulfill herself. She could really be herself and who she is and her personality and her, you know, have adventures and really enjoy. And so, yeah, I introduced this world of Almazova, another dimension where she lands and has a great time.
And she can walk and run and sing and dance and speak and do everything that she can't do in this
that's
life.
Right.
And that's the genesis of the story. And,
yeah.
And you know, you write with great honesty as well, because, you know, you write about Doll self-harming. And, you know, for those of us who have a child with special needs, you know, we have it with Marcia as well. And it's a very difficult thing to explain to parents who don't witness it, to watch your child in that much pain that they want to hurt themselves.
Yes, exactly. And not to know why.
Yeah.
Not to have any reason why. I find it, you know, I often said this, that, and I think you might agree with me, Patricia, it's not really the disability itself, the syndrome that Lauren has. I mean, obviously that's very challenging. But the real challenge is seeing a child who isn't happy and who is emotionally disengaged. And as you say, she, you know, she would kind of break the skin in her face and sort of cut into her face with her little nails and just gouge out, you know, sort of her skin. And it's very hard to even to articulate for me how devastating it is to watch. I remember going to meditation classes once, and she was talking about detachment, detaching yourself from what's going on. And I said, how do you do that? Because I can't, and I never could. I could never detach. I tried to use affirmations and saying, you know, everything will be fine, she'll be grand, you know, this will change. Nothing really. I found it very, very difficult.
Yeah,
to cope
is.
With.
Yeah,
to see someone unhappy, to see your child unhappy.
Yeah, what I think about is when at times when Marcia goes through like challenging. Now, overall, Marcia is a great, happy little child, but she can go through periods where, particularly COVID, I think knocked the stuffing out of her, where the joy was gone out of her life, and that was heartbreaking. Mm, you know, because I had seen her joyful, and then suddenly, that spark was gone. So
you know that spark you're talking about.
Yeah.
When we do see that in real life with Lauren, it's magical. Mm. It is brilliant. Mm. What's seldom seen, I suppose, is wonderful. So when she is in good form, or when she's smiling, and we do get glimpses of it, it's. And there's no better feeling, really.
And the one key, I think, to both of your books, and it's the advice that's always given, write about what you know.
Yes, exactly.
And that's important for you.
It is. You know, this is the book, Patricia, that I wanted to write. I never thought about an audience. I never thought about what genre is it. I never thought about the market. And even if I didn't know about all those things at the time, I would still have written this book. This was the book I wanted to write. I was actually, in my head, taking, you know, this character and going with her through her experiences and her, and you know, she's got a goal to complete. She's a quest. She meets all these different characters. She's afraid.
Are you following her in your mind?
I'm following her in my mind. And I thought, I don't care about audiences. It never gets published. It doesn't bother me. I want to write this story about bringing magic into the sort of the joylessness. And you know, who knows? Because science tells us there are different dimensions.
You don't know.
And that we live different versions of ourselves in different dimensions. So maybe.
Maybe Lauren is
maybe
living.
Maybe she is.
And when you start to write book one and book two, did you know where the story was going?
Never had a clue. I know. Now, in book two, I had some ideas.
Okay.
Right? And I was excited about the ideas where, because I mean, there are other characters in the book. There's the dad, there's the mum, and there's Lavinia.
There's Lavinia. We'll say no more. You'll have to read the book to find out about Lavinia.
She's in book one. She disappears then.
Yeah.
I suppose what you were saying, right, about
what you know.
What you know.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't sort of, I suppose, had the experience, first of all, with being a parent, being a mother, I don't know if I could have written that kind of a book, you know. But I never knew where it was going to go. I just knew she was. And then when I got her to Almazova, I thought, the pressure. What do I do now? What does she do here? I didn't want her chasing rabbits and sort of singing amongst the daisies and meeting some. I didn't want that kind of a book. I wanted her to really, I wanted to challenge her, and I wanted to explore what would this little child do if she was faced with, you know, some sort of a serious quest that she had to perform. How would she step up? So bit by bit, you know, I used to go off spinning sometimes, you know, on the bike. And after a spinning class, during the spinning class, as the music and, you know, you're tearing around the pedals, and ideas would come to me then. Yeah, if I was out walking, ideas would come to me.
Did you ever get a block?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Were you stuck?
Yeah, stuck. And the sort of, you know, the climax of the book, in book one, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was weeks saying, how am I going to bring this to an end? You know, it's like you're knitting a cardigan that's going on like for 20 feet.
It has to stop.
It has to stop.
Yeah.
But then when you do get that flash of, I know what I'm going to do now. Yeah, it's a great feeling then.
I remember talking to you after book one, like when you finished book one, you knew that book two was there.
Yes, I already had started. I actually started book two once I finished book one.
Yeah.
Without really... It was during COVID, and I missed the family, and I missed, you know, what would they do now, those parents that had a lot of difficulties? You know, are they sort of all cozied up now? Or what about, you know, my 16-year-old little character, Andy, who's gorgeous and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, she's a very bright girl, but she's a bit of a rebel. And she started going out with the kind of the bad boy. As
the boy from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah, the gorgeous.
Give him a chance.
Yeah, exactly. And she's madly in love with him. But what's going to happen, really?
Yeah.
So I was curious, and that's why I sort of started on book two. And also I had time, Patricia. And when I finished book two, I went back to book one then to do more editing, and thought, you know, when I did publish last year, I thought, well, book two is ready to be edited and I should put a bit of work into it. But yeah, it was easier to write because the character is
because what I love is, while Dahl is having the adventure, I love the fact in this book we are finding out more about the mother, the father, and the sister.
Yeah.
And one particular part of the book that I enjoyed was where Sally, the mother, took on the social worker.
Yes.
And I think all of us who are parents of a special needs child at some stage have taken on a professional
who
really do not know the life that we live.
Yes.
And it just, I was cheering for her.
Really?
I really was.
I enjoyed writing that myself because it's more conflicts. And I suppose, Patricia, when you're writing a book, nobody wants all misery.
Mm.
Nobody wants all sort of happy-clappy. People like a bit of drama.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, this is true to life. Now, I did speak to a social worker and a nurse to get the sense of what might happen in a particular situation. But yeah, I think, you know, sometimes professionals, with the best will in the world, they really don't walk in our shoes.
No.
So they don't really get it. There's a bit of professional speak. And yeah.
And sometimes they don't listen, which is the one part that annoys me. And the ending, and you very much put the end, you've left it open.
Yeah, I have left it open.
Yeah, it could go further.
I wasn't sure what was going to happen to Dahl in book two.
I had
a lot of, you know, different ideas.
Yeah.
But I won't. No spoilers.
No.
But yeah, there's a twist in it. And who knows?
Who knows?
Book
three. And how did book one go, by the way?
Very well.
Did
I was
it?
Absolutely thrilled with it. It's so hard when you're self-published
because
you are a one-woman band. You're doing everything: marketing, distribution, you know, to the stores, collecting, you know, selling, social media. It's all a bit of a juggling act.
Yeah.
But I just wanted readers to read it and come back and say they enjoyed it, and that's what happened.
You got great feedback.
Yeah.
And is there a massive buzz about walking into a bookshop and seeing your books
on the shelf? There is.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. You just want to shout to people and say, come over here,
see
this book. You should read it.
Yeah. I always remember Maeve Binchy, Lord of Mercy. I used to love interviewing Maeve Binchy, but she told me a story after her first book.
Mm.
She was so excited about seeing it up on a bookshelf. And she used to go into bookshops and push them out to the front.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, that is a good idea, actually.
Cameras
everywhere.
It was a different era. So where is the book on sale?
So the book is on sale in Vibes and Scribes. I'm hoping, and I think I'm nearly there, Eason's in Mahon Point, but also in Middleton Books, Fermoy Books, Eason's in Dungarvan, and on my website, eleanoroKellylynch.ie.
Well, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well done. And it's a pleasure, as always, Eleanor, to have you in studio. And I'm already looking forward to book three. So go in and write it there.
I better get going.
It's Eleanor O'Kelly Lynch, and the book is called The Girl with Stars in Her Eyes.